This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin hour number two. It is VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross here in downtown Las Vegas. Here at Circus Sports, he is our closer. Jensen Lewis back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Mike Palm will be in studio here in about 30 minutes or so. So get ready for Palm's pressing three. But we begin hour number two, Jensen, with our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
We wrapped up the Stanley Cup Finals two nights ago now. Can't believe that already. As Edmonton lost down there in Florida, could we be wrapping up the NBA playoffs tonight, as it could be all over if OKC can get a win against Indiana? Now, the big news here, obviously, is Tyrese Haliburton and his availability. He is still questionable before we get to game time tonight. I don't know if I can read into anything with that, Jensen. And again, the numbers here have gone up, obviously, with this news of Tyrese up to 6.5. We've seen here the total has been suppressed a little bit, down to 222. That's even come down a half point since yesterday as well. Can we read into anything to try to figure out if we want to play doctor and figure out if we want to back Indiana? Would you have to go into that with the knowledge that I cannot expect Haliburton to play?
Yeah, well, riddle me this here, Dave. We have the total down to 221.5 on DraftKings, and we have the Pacers down to +6. So take from that what you want. I am really tempted to jump on the over right now. Whoa. At 221.5. That is sticking out to me big time, because here's the rub. So if I get it now and Haliburton's in, that thing probably jumps right back to what, 224, 225? Sure. Yep. Potentially.
Yep.
And again, not saying that he's going to be 100% by any means, but the fact that he could be out there and giving it a go, there probably is some reaction in the market, and I would certainly have the better of the number by at least a possession, if not two. So that jumped out to me. Some potential player props here. I would love to look at some unders. Obi Toppin, under 1.5 three-pointers made. Mm. You can get that at $1.18 right now at MGM. Kaysen Wallace, under 1.5 assists, also jumped out to me, $1.25 at MGM. Thinking of some other props here that would look really good. So talked to you about Miles Turner and rebounds yesterday. Still feel that that could be a spot if you wanted to jump in that market, that might be good. But those first two really kind of had, you know, some semblance of not only an affordable price here, but ones that you could feel have a really good chance to hit.
I'm picking up what you're putting down with that under, with that over as well. Now that it's been knocked down to 221.5, 222 here at Circa, I feel like you're getting a discounted price. Remember, it went over the total in game five, and that was with Haliburton limited, and he only had 4 points and area field goal in that game. So I kind of look at it and I go, whether or not they're telling us, and Rick Carlisle doesn't have to tell anybody, he doesn't want Mark Dagnall and the guys to know whether or not their star guard is going to be able to go. But I bet you internally they already know. I can't imagine that they're sitting around like us right now going, oh, is he going to play? I'm sure they've got a game plan in mind, and maybe that's why it's come back to six on the Indiana side. So you're going to get their best punch with or without Haliburton here, because obviously if they lose tonight, this series is over. It's all over in LA with the Lakers and the Buss family. Now, this is very interesting here because we have a new buyer. Remember, we've had the Busses have been in ownership with Jerry Buss back to 1979. Jeannie Buss really took over for her dad in 2013. And now they have agreed to sell the majority ownership of the group, of the team, to Mark Walton. Now, Walton's been with the team here as a minority owner since 2021. It's worth roughly $10 billion. But I guess the bigger issue here, even though Jeannie is staying on as the, quote, team governor, that's a heck of a title. What do you make of this in Lakerland, that it's not now in control of the Buss family for the first time since the Magic Johnson era began back in 1979?
Yeah, I think Wes Reynolds had put it out yesterday. You know, we're now dwindling in the amount of families,
right,
that own professional franchises. We're getting into these conglomerates, these hedge funds, things of that nature. And so this is why I said, for people just joining us at the top of the show, that, you know, are these people are these groups more invested in? Yes, owning a franchise like this is going to set you up for some substantial individual and group profit. Are you more worried about making money or about winning? And there are not a lot of instances in which, maybe outside the LA Dodgers, right? And you get a unicorn in Shohei Ohtani. He's a printing press. You can buy whoever you want. You're in it every year, at least for the times here moving forward, the next 5 to 6 years that he is going to be at his elite status. Where do we go here for the Lakers? When is the last time, Dave, can we objectively say the LA Lakers were an elite NBA franchise on the court? Ooh. When's the last time you feel, maybe probably the Shaq and Kobe days?
Sure.
It feels like it's been a minute here. So does the new majority owner say, we need to get back to those days? We haven't been that, an aging LeBron. Perhaps the Luka era is the way to do this. So anxious to see what their mindset is early on as majority owners moving forward.
Yeah, it's interesting because even though they won it in the bubble year, it felt like maybe an aberration, right? Because of all the things that were happening there. But you're right, like Kobe, Shaq, it felt like every year with Kobe, Shaq, you were in it, right? You knew you were in it with those two guys on the floor. By the way, 16-1 for the Lakers to win it next year. This is going to be interesting because I think you nailed it right there. Like, I'm a Met fan, like Steve Cohen. I call him Uncle Steve affectionately. Like, even Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones there in Dallas as a Cowboy fan. And I know people have their angst about those guys. And yes, Jerry's made a lot of money. Was that the priority or is it winning? I mean, they still did win 3 Super Bowls in the Jerry Jones era. And Steve Cohen in New York, I know he's spending the money because he's a fan first. So if it's a business, that's different. It's going to be interesting to see the way the Lakers are run, and that could factor in to some of these numbers in the near future for the Lakers in the upcoming years. We had absolute chaos last night in Omaha. So break it down for the people that didn't see it. And again, if you're an Arkansas backer last night, you got to be just kicking yourselves today. It's Coastal and LSU. They're going to play for all the marbles.
Well, first of all, Coastal back into the College World Series championship series now since 2016 when they did win that national title, and it will be the LSU Tigers that they match up against. But how about 25, 26 wins in a row here for the Chanticleers, and as dominant a performance, even with Louisville putting up a bit of a fight, this was kind of the team we circled at the beginning of this 8-team tournament, Dave, that we felt, okay, from a starting pitching standpoint, from an overall offensive standpoint, they felt pretty live here to come out of this side of the bracket. They make it stand up. The ending to Arkansas-LSU is going to haunt Hogs fans yet again. And that feeling of being cursed is going to resurrect itself because of how, in just a ball that traditionally, and I will preface this, no double play is assumed here, but Vahiva Aloy, your SEC player of the year, there is no one on the field you want the ball hit to with the game on the line or potentially to end the game. And as the replay showed, Dave, I challenge anyone to come forward and say, nah, he needed to go to third to get the force out with less than 2 outs. It was tailor-made for a game-ending double play that would have sent the Hogs into a winner-take-all game tonight against LSU. So horrible beat for anyone who had Arkansas money line. Horrible beat for anyone who had the run line, -1.5 for Arkansas. And maybe the worst beat of all, the under 10.5 at that game was 5-3. It should have ended that way. LSU walks it off with 3 in the 9th. They win 6-5. The over hits right there by the hook. Buddy, just surreal to watch that last night. I'm going to jump on with Gil and Kelly coming up here at 10:15 Eastern time. I'm sure we'll recap it, but I would say we got a damn good College World Series championship series, man, that gets underway on Saturday night.
With 26 straight wins now for Coastal, okay, and I know it's LSU and it's big, bad, you know, SEC country. Is it fair to call it David against Goliath? Because I know you were on Coastal, right? This is not a Cinderella.
Not at all. This is a team that believed they could be there. They steamrolled through not only the regional there. Remember, Conway, South Carolina.
Wow.
A lot of people thought that the Florida Gators would go in there and be able to win it. The Chanticleers don't lose a game there. They go into Plainsman Park, the number 4 national seed, Auburn Tigers. They dismantle them. And then they come through with flying colors against this side of the bracket here for the College World Series. This is definitely a heavyweight fight. We got a damn good one to start here on Saturday night.
That's going to be really good there in Omaha here. So it's down to two, LSU and Coastal Carolina. By the way, if you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber, as of yet, the betting splits that Jensen and I look at each and every day, you have the same access to those for as little as $9.99 for your very first month. All you have to do is go to VSiN.com/subscribe, sign up today. So it's not only the betting splits that you get here at Circa behind me, but it's also DraftKings. You're going to see where all the money is going for every single bet out there in every single sport. So it's really going to make you a better bettor if you're taking this seriously. VSiN.com/subscribe, $9.99 for your very first month. Major League Baseball last night, Jensen. I take a little siesta, I wake up, and I see the Dodgers beat the Padres again in a walk-off fashion there. Boy, did I wish I listened to you 3 days ago. As the Padres then were 12-1 to win the division, now they get swept. They're north of 20-1 here. Are the Dodgers just flexing that muscle very quickly? I know we're going to get to the Daily Diamond in the next segment, but 4-3, they walk it off last night against the Padres. These are meaningful wins now in June that could affect things come September.
This is Big Brother imposing its will on Little Brother yet again, finding ways to annoy. Truth be told, I was on the Padres +167. Ugh. Felt really good last night. But again, this is what you look for in trying to assess futures markets, seeing who has staying power. So I told you, National League pennant futures for the Giants and the Padres. That division, it's the Dodgers to lose.
Yeah, and it looks like you never wrap things up here in June, but the big three-game sweep there of the Padres last night. All right, when we come back, we will get to it. Our edition of the Daily Diamond is up next.
To VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, gonna have Mike Palms gonna join us in studio here in the next segment. So we'll get ready for Palms pressing three coming up here very soon. But without further ado, let's get to today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Day baseball, rejoice, Jensen. It's going to be a lot of fun today in the Major League docket here on a Thursday. And if you're looking at what's going on in the boogie down with the Yankees, oh my goodness, I don't know if it's time to push the panic button here, but at some point, your big studs got to step up here and have a big day. Could that happen today, Jensen?
Well, they got a couple of guys who love playing the matinee specials, and that is our first topic we will tackle here for the Daily Diamond. So a couple of guys, Aaron Judge, Paul Goldschmidt, amongst the league leaders in hits during day games this year. Judge with 42, Goldschmidt with 41. Also, a couple of matinee guys today. Stephen Kwan with the Guardians going up against Logan Webb out there in the Bay Area. Vinny Pasquantino for the Royals will do it down deep in the heart of Texas against the Rangers. So just went with a pretty traditional to get a hit parlay. We went with Goldie, we went with Kwani, and we went with the Pasquatch here. DraftKings is just being very fickle and not wanting to put out all of the batter props just yet. So I don't have a price for you on the hit parlay, but it will be there. So VSiN Pro subscribers, make sure that you keep it locked into the picks page there. That'll be up as soon as DraftKings posts those numbers.
Rodon going for the in the boogie down today for the Yanks against Tyler Anderson here. +223 is the comeback on the Angels. You got to lay 282 with the Yanks. Jensen, at some point, this losing streak will end for the Yankees, but I know Rodon right now might be their quasi-ace. Is that a little bit hefty today on that price at 282?
Yeah. I mean, the fact that they finally scored is a great accomplishment. but, I mean, you know, the way it's almost out of principle.
Yeah.
You're getting plus money on the run line too here for the Angels. So, won't be touching that game as far as money line total or run line are concerned, but definitely some ways to attack it. Day baseball in the Bronx. Definitely love some of those hitter situations for the Yanks against Tyler Anderson.
And very quickly here, you mentioned Pasquantino here for the Royals. They've actually the last 2 days, two nice wins. Deep in the heart of Texas, Michael Wacha is going to be on the bump today against Sean Armstrong of the Rangers. $1 here to the Rangers, to the Royals, $1.21 on the Rangers side. Should I start to get excited about the Royals? I know that it looks like Cole Reagan's going to be on, going to be out here for at least 4 weeks now. They're going to extend his stay on the IR. Can I get excited about the Royals without Reagan's coming back?
Yes. I think as I look towards kind of our conversation earlier in the week, just about where the standings are and overall, like if you were to hitch your wagon in a wild card race to a team that's currently not in a postseason spot, here's what you have, right? So the Guardians and the Red Sox currently tied, and Guardians by virtue of a thousandth in win percentage have the spot right now, the final wild card spot. Here's what you have. Red Sox, Mariners, Twins, Angels, Royals, Rangers, two games separate that group from where the Guardians are. So you have, you know, a 6-7 teams all within two games for the final wild card spot. That just tells you there's probably going to be more buyers, or we may have more hybrids at the trade deadline, Dave. You may have buyers and sellers where they're looking for short-term fix or short-term bolstering, also with an eye on the future. That's why I think the beauty of the American League is there are so many different teams that have an opportunity and still will here when we have this conversation again in a month.
All right, let's see if they can hold it down here without Reagan's for quite some time here, another month here for the Royals A's. All right, let's get to it. Some guys that like to go yard in day baseball. What have you identified today?
All right, little drive to thrive. Same idea here with where guys are as far as hits, most hits in day games. I looked for guys that have driven the ball out of the ballpark in these matinee affairs as well. So no surprise, Aaron Judge going to be in there. 13 homers in 28 day games. And again, you know, this is why you do the research. He's got horrible numbers against Tyler Anderson. So the herky-jerky nature, I don't know if the stuff just kind of befuddles Aaron Judge here, but just a caveat in that space. Rafi Devers now with the Giants. He will go up against Gavin Williams of the Guardians later this afternoon. Seiya Suzuki, the Chicago Cubs and the Brew Crew getting rained out yesterday. They will have an opportunity to do some damage. This afternoon, Brewers have yet to name a starter, so just kind of be mindful of that if you want to play the day game props here for the Chicago Cubs. And if I have it correctly here, they are not going to have the double dip today. It'll just be the single game for the Cubs. So again, till the Brewers name a starter, maybe hold off on Seiya Suzuki. But Spencer Torkelson, you will have that day-night doubleheader here for the Pirates and the Tigers. It will be Andrew Heaney going in the day game. So you get the right-handed Torkelson against the lefty and Heaney, Tarek Skubal. We were all hoping for a Paul Skenes, Tarek Skubal matchup today. That's not going to happen. Paul Skenes going in the nightcap there in Detroit. But let's go Judge two or more total bases. I think he breaks out of it a little bit. He has been struggling putting the ball into play, but perhaps the day game is the elixir.
Man.
And Rafi Devers. Great numbers against right-handed starters, so we like him for two or more total bases as well.
From the pitching side here, maybe some guys that are looking to get off on the good foot earlier in the day. What do you have today from the guys on the bump?
So we call them morning matchups on MLB Network Radio, and I figured I would give an homage to our friends there, Sirius Channel 89. But here are our morning matchups that are really good. By the way, some of these you got to do a double take. Carlos Correa, 643.
What?
Three doubles, three bombs, and guess what? They're going to need it. Twins have lost six in a row.
Yeah.
Correa against Nick Martinez, especially in Great American Ballpark. The launching pad could be there today, so we could see plenty of runs from both sides. So we like Carlos Correa for two or more total bases. Brandon Nimmo against Spencer Strider. Traditionally, you don't want to attack aces, but 8-for-16 is enough for me with a double, triple, and a couple of bombs. So Nimmo seeing Strider quite well. Also, Corey Seager going up against Michael Wacha, who gets to start here for the Kansas City Royals. 4-12 with a couple of doubles. Let's do a Nimmo and Seager to record a hit parlay. I'll get those updated figures and prices for you once they become available. But again, always want to check those day-to-day matchups. The beauty of baseball here, Dave, you might struggle against a pitcher previous night, and then the next day you're like, cannot wait to get to the bat rack and see what damage you can do there.
All right, forget wins and losses for a second, okay? In the National League, right now, the best run differential, Chicago Cubs, plus 107. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
They're 17 games above 500. The Dodgers, not a surprise there. They're the second best, plus 77. Look at the Dodgers here. They're 17 games over 500 as well. Third team is the Mets, our Metropolitans, 16 games over 500, plus 74. The fourth best team in the National League when it comes to run differential, forget about record, it's the Cincinnati Reds. Here we go again, where the record doesn't match up with some of the data that we see with the Reds. Jensen, they're four games back over 500. They've won four in a row here. They've now crept into a tie for second place, 6.5 games behind the Brewers. And oh, by the way, they're doing a lot of this without Hunter Green, who's been out, right, with a couple of different injuries here. I'm getting excited about what the Reds are doing. They get the rain-shortened win yesterday. I was totally happy with that. 4-2 wins over the Twins. Are we starting to look in the rear view a little bit at the Reds, like the Cardinals now, slipping back to kind of where we thought they'd be after this great start? Again, we talk about buyers and sellers. Look at the Reds there, four games over. Are we identifying a team that's starting to approach the rear view mirror for the Cubs a little bit quicker than they might appear?
Again, buddy, I have to go to a 45-1 to win the National League. Again, just think about, again, this is all about position and opportunities to monetize, as the great Mike Palm will tell us.
Yeah.
You're a half game out of a playoff spot. So with the matchups being already locked in, the 3-6 matchup plays the number two seed. And as it stands right now, Dave, I mean, you have the Cubs would be the one seed by percentage points. The Dodgers would be the two seed, not ideal. But if you find your way through to upset the Dodgers, you have a massive ticket to monetize to win the National League. So again, it's the exercise here of, yeah, you would love to run down the Cubs for the division in all likelihood that gains you a top two seed. But buddy, I'm looking more at just the parabolic increase in potential payout, right? Of 45-1. If right now you're just a run behind the Phillies as far as runs scored in the National League for a top four spot, buddy, I'd advocate get yourself some shares of the Reds to win the National League, period, just with that number and knowing they got reinforcements coming.
Think about all the runs they've scored and how many games they lost 1-0 in that terrible stretch they had, right?
Oh, buddy, preach.
I mean, this team is not...
March and April, we're going to be like, you got to be kidding me. These are the four wins we needed.
There it is. By the way, PropitX, if you haven't checked it out for baseball, it's a great opportunity here to really get the best of your value. It's a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40 or more states, first of its kind in the United States. Check them out. Best odds on average, 10 to 20%. All you have to do, use the code VSIN, earn up to $200 in profit cash.
You're tuned in to VSIN by the Books, right here on VSIN.
We continue VSIN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Willis here with you on this Thursday. Always love when Mike Palm is in town and can join us in studio as he does today. Of course, VP of Operations here at Circa. And does a great job here up and down the network. Mike, great to have you back in studio here on this Thursday. Jensen and I, before we get to Omaha, because we have a lot to break down from your Omaha trip, including your lack of sunscreen. But
I had sunscreen, Dave.
You did have sunscreen.
50 SPFs, whatever that is.
So say you're a veteran of the game. You know
I had to burn, the first burn. It's always the first burn in the summer. It's like the first time you turn the heat on in the winter and you smell it burns the dust off of it. It's the first burn in the summer.
That sounds like an ESPN 30 for 30, the first burn. Let's get to what we might see. Might be the last dance here for the Pacers tonight against OKC. And Mike, I'm curious where you're seeing here at Circa 6.5. By the way, if you want to back the Pacers, that's a better number because you're seeing some sixes out there as well. If you're on the Pacers side, total down to 222. I'm seeing 221.5s out there as well. The big question is going to be Tyrese Haliburton. Is he going to be able to go? If you were backing Indiana, and I posed this question to Jensen earlier, would you have to do it with the mentality that I cannot count on Tyrese Haliburton? I'm making the bet independent of Haliburton, and if I get anything out of him, that's just gravy.
Well, so logically, when I look at this game, and I'm no NBA expert, but logically, when I look at this game, remember this game four closed six with a healthy Haliburton. Mm-hmm. And now you say it's 6.5 tonight. That can't be. This number should be higher with the question mark on Haliburton. I think it's balanced by the fact that to close out on the road is very difficult.
Yeah.
I can't back Indiana here tonight, though. I, you know... And it's a really vicious beat when you're up 10 with 30 seconds to go in the third quarter. Right? I thought that little exchange at the end of the third quarter where Siakam misses one or two and then OKC scores to end the quarter and cut it to seven.
Yeah.
That was a really important last minute of the third quarter, I thought, for the Pacers to maintain that lead. And instead, it got down to seven when it could have been 12. But anyhow, you know, it's funny for us because Oklahoma City so quickly became favored during the year because of their margins of victory that we need Oklahoma City in these games. We need them for the series, which it's funny because we needed Florida. Here's a team going back-to-back for Stanley Cup, right? And you're needing them. The people are betting against them. Usually you would see that people are betting on those type of teams.
Yeah.
But as a bookie, you know, you end up needing what you need. But to me, I would need to get eight tonight to take the Pacers.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I played the over 221.5, Mikey. I know it's up to 222 there at Circa. Speaking of the over, I was telling Dave, one of the more horrendous beats of the College World Series last night on multiple fronts. If you had the under 10.5, dear God, that thing should have been a rocking chair winner the way it was going. However, welcome to college baseball. You and I talked about it when we were out there. What do you make of Vahiba Aloy there not trying to turn the double play to end the game? And all, you know, by rights, had plenty of time to do it. Was that the most shocking result for you of what you saw, not only when we were out there, but how this tournament has transpired thus far?
I think the Arizona collapse in their second game, where they legitimately, you could have said they committed four errors in that eighth inning.
Yeah.
I mean, that was stunning to me in the game against Louisville. I was shocked by that. Of course, last night, my friend, who's the director of purchasing here, was on under 10.5, right? And I left to go home to have dinner.
Come on.
And he's texting me when it gets to 3-3. He goes, uh-oh.
Yeah.
I didn't want this to be 3-3. I just wanted three outs in the top of the ninth. I said, here we go. And of course, you know, not turn the double play. And then the kid whiffs on the fly ball. I'm gonna ask you something, Jensen. And I, you know, Mitch Moss sort of confirmed this to me. We had a lot of fun, Dave. You know, it was a terrific atmosphere. We couldn't have asked for better host, Kevin at Rocco's.
Yeah.
That scene with all the people.
Amazing. It's wall to wall.
Caught the energy of the entire was. I'm not sure that this product is great, though. And I'm talking about the College World Series. I'm talking about college baseball. I saw a real lack of fundamentals in a lot of these games. There's been 23 errors through 12 games. Mm-hmm. I think that's generous on the scoring. I think there could easily have been 30. We saw Arizona lose the first game because the second baseman trailed the base runner stealing first to second when they were never going to throw through, and then they hit a ground ball. I thought that was the key play of that. I thought there's been a real lack of fundamentals. I thought maybe UCLA was the most fundamentally, and then of course they didn't advance. But thinking back 20 years to when you were at Vanderbilt, Jensen, and I know athletes are stronger and faster, and we have all this science in the game now. Is the product as good as it was 20, 30, or 40 years ago?
I would say that the pitching has been elevated so much with the influence of Driveline. You and I have talked about it on Bet on Chicago, about how that has been not only an influx at the college level, but is now ever present throughout major league teams and throughout their farm systems. I think because of the average exit velocity off of an aluminum bat versus a wood bat. Now, again, you're talking about men versus boys here, but still the aluminum factor. And Mikey, you and I had this conversation too. They've kind of dialed back, you know, the strength and, you know, the ping, if you will, of the material of those aluminum bats now. But the ball is getting on guys so much faster. And that in and of itself at those ages, 18 to 21, you know, we're lucky in big league baseball where you see guys that are able to make those plays because they're so used to seeing that. That's not the case here when you come out of high school and all of a sudden every guy you see is hitting 95, 98, 100 miles an hour off the bat. Like that to me is probably the biggest difference from when I played. And we still had those bats that were ringing for 3 seconds when you hit it. So I think that's the biggest thing I would chalk it up to. Average fastball velocity uptick and also the average exit velocity, the huge elevation from 20 years ago.
When you mentioned fundamentals, though, right? And this is a question Jensen and I were breaking down with this Arkansas game. If you have an Arkansas ticket, you have to be sick that you don't – the mentality was – maybe that's not coached into you – to immediately turn, and that's a 6-4-3, and this game's over. Instead, you go to third for the force out. That is maybe not drilled into you fundamentally, or it's just in the moment you just panic and make the wrong call. Like, because that ends the game if you turn it successfully, or maybe we're so conditioned as bettors that we're watching major leaguers night in, night out, and that is as routine as it would get for a major leaguer to turn it, but maybe not as routine for a college kid.
There was a play, I think it was Tuesday, where a ground ball to short where they need to turn a double play to get out of the inning, and instead of throwing it, the kid underhanded it. And the guys on the broadcast are terrific. I mean, these are major league level broadcasts in the analysis, though. You can't underhand the ball there. You can't get enough velocity on it to try to turn it, and then they don't turn the double play. I thought the outfielders also didn't track balls well, especially balls that fell in front of them. And here's another thing. Not that teams couldn't bunt, but that they couldn't understand how to field these bunts. How many bunts that got by the pitcher on the third base side, the third baseman wasn't charging with first and second, ended up being base hits? I mean, the third baseman's got to charge. Short covers third there. You can't, if you just get the ball by the pitcher on the left side, automatically have a hit there. I was a little bit disappointed in it, Jensen.
Yeah, and again, also to think about differences of where these kids play the majority of their games during the regular season. You know, TD Ameritrade, the Chuck there, that's almost a big league stadium, if you will, from the second deck and how the ball comes off. And I know people are like, you got to be kidding me. Like, this is a difference maker. I'm like, it is a huge difference maker because of not only the amount of ground you've got to cover. So those outfield trajectories and also the dimensions, way different than a lot of the home ballparks that these kids are playing in. And how the ball travels, Mikey, I told you this why I was on a lot of unders early, is when the temperature isn't super high and the wind isn't blowing out there, the ball's going to just kind of hang in the air a little bit. It's not going to travel as much. And then as soon as you hit like 85, 90 degrees and that wind just turns just a little bit, everything carries and everything flies. And it's amazing to see off the bat, the kids aren't seeing it as well because of how that backdrop is with the second deck of the stadium and how expansive it is. So it kind of gets lost a little bit, and that's why you probably see some of those misplays too.
How are you guys aligned now with Coastal against LSU in the championship?
Great. I mean, the difference of it is like $3,000. We win to both of them. It's a nice win. So the future book worked out very well for us.
So no sweat for this.
There's almost no sweat unless we get big action on a couple of the games.
Very nice. By the way, your overall experience in Omaha, 1 through 10?
I will give it a 9.5.
9.5.
I would hopefully go back next year. The atmosphere is incredible in that ballpark and sitting there. And everybody's knowledgeable, right? You're there with a lot of – it's like going to a Cardinal game where the fan base is very knowledgeable.
What was your favorite out of the Jell-O shooters? Did you have a favorite?
Oh, I thought the berry, the blue, was by far the best.
Blue was good.
Yeah, the blue, the Coastal Carolina. Great stuff. If you want to bet on the ponies, by the way, you can do so with our friends over at First Bet. They're going to let you wager on hundreds of horse races each and every day from top tracks across the U.S. and, dare I say, the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's firstbet.com, the number one, stbet.com. Use the promo code VEASAN200. Claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head over to firstbet.com and do so today. When we come back, it is time for Palms Pressing 3. We don't know what the questions are. Jensen doesn't either. That's next year, VEASAN by the Books.
VEASAN by the Books, right here on VEASAN.
We are back, VEASAN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. Always great having Mike Palm in studio. But Jensen, you know what time it is. It's time for Palms Pressing 3.
Pressing? Yes, I say it's pressing.
This is Palms Pressing 3.
Now, my mother told me never to answer a question with a question.
Sir, my client has answered every question asked by this committee with the utmost sincerity.
You know, Dave, I don't know if I was subconsciously thinking about Aaron Civale when I wrote this first question. I really wasn't until I just read it now during the break. But we often hear Jensen athletes say it's all about the team, especially when deflecting praise or credit to their teammates, even though they themselves have performed well. But let's be candid. outside of the playoffs, when the players have already earned their yearly salaries and the sole focus is to win a championship, isn't the regular season more often about personal performance and stats than the team's overall standing? Wouldn't most players privately prefer to excel individually, especially in a contract year, even if the team is struggling, because strong stats lead to better contracts and career security?
I love it. It's a great question, Mikey, and one that I personally had been involved with because at the end of the 2010 season, Tim Belcher, who was our pitching coach, just happened to come up to me night before. Actually, no, I think it was the day of, last day of the regular season. We were out of it. The White Sox were out of it. And he goes, I noticed you have an ERA under 3. And I was headed into my first year of arbitration. He said, barring something unforeseen, you're going to be down today. Congratulations on a great year. And I was like, well, you just earned yourself some meal money, I can tell you that. But as far as, we see this a lot in the NFL, Mikey, right? Where you get into this week 17, week 18, you get the incentive bonuses, a lot of that. I think that from being on teams that were in the postseason hunt, there's a lot more selflessness because guys know ultimately, especially the veterans, you just don't know how many times you're going to have the chance to get to the postseason, let alone get deep into it. So I would absolutely advocate that many of us are all about the team, but as soon as you see that this thing is probably over, it gets very individual very, very quickly.
We were talking a little bit about Jair Alexander, who just signed with the Ravens, right? And that the talent oozes. But when you see the individual stuff that you go, man, as a franchise, as a team, how much do we want to put up with this stuff? So you mentioned Aaron Civale. I just wonder if they go, you know what? Fine. You want out? Then bye-bye.
Go to Siberia.
Right. You're somebody else's problem. I think now teams are starting to say, I know contract's going to make that difficult to be all about the team. But if you're not in it with the other guys, Mike, I just wonder how much longer would we put up with this headache?
Well, he's in a situation where they put him to the bullpen on a team that's going to compete for a playoff spot, right? In Milwaukee.
Yeah.
He didn't want that. Unacceptable to him. Now, I don't know if that's more about he's trying to drive a next contract or about his ego as a starter. I mean, there is a certain ego, I assume, Jensen, of starting pitchers, that they're not bullpen guys, they're starters. But yeah, this is Siberia. Now you got to suffer through the rest of the summer on the south side of Chicago with that team?
Jensen, very quickly, do you think that's going to affect him next year when he's trying to get a new deal? That they're going to go, we had to move you from a team that had aspirations of being a playoff team?
Well, this is his final year of arbitration, and that's why I think he stood his ground.
Okay.
Was, you know, that you go in, and he's going to be in his age 31 season next year. I was just checking here his contract status. So it makes more sense of why he was like, no, I'm a starting pitcher, because you're going to get paid a boatload of money more on the free agent market as a potential starter than you would as a reliever. So that's going to drive it. And Mikey has it nailed. That's exactly why he made the stink that he did. I'm a starter. Because a lot of this predicated on what he's going to look at in free agency.
Here's a good question for you, I thought, and it's about Shohei. Now, I want to give the background to this, is that I'm decent friends with one of the front office people for the Dodgers.
Okay.
And he comes here, likes to play in the football contests. And I asked him about Shohei pitching. This was during the offseason. And he said he would be very surprised if Shohei got more than 12 or 14 starts during the course of the year. So we saw him start the opener, become an opener in the first game of the series against the Padres. Essentially, they said he was going to pitch one or two innings, but it took him 28 to get out of the first. So it was a one inning. That was 663 days since he last pitched in Major League Baseball. Jensen, if the Dodgers desired to get him back into a regular five-man rotation with the ability to throw 90-plus, 100-plus pitches, how long would this process take?
It's probably going to be a month, and I don't think they go to a five-man period if they get him extended out. I would anticipate they go back to a six-man, and a lot of that more predicated not only on Shohei and how he has had success in the past, but the boatload of injuries, you know, Mikey, that we've talked about. I mean, you're still trying to get Glasnow back, and he's on the mend in a good way. Roki Sasaki now shut down with no timetable to return to throw is a major, major problem. Blake Snell still dealing with the shoulder inflammation. I mean, you look at guys that they were hoping to rely upon outside of Shohei coming back at some point this year. I think it'll be by necessity to do that. Now, Mikey, I throw it back to you because – can we get into a voter fatigue situation? I know Shohei is upwards of a $5 favorite.
That's right.
To win the National League MVP. Pete Crow Armstrong, the second choice there at 12-1. Like, I wonder for voters here, you know, what, how many starts minimum do you need for this to just kind of be done? I think you and I had a conversation about it, Omar. Like, hey, you know, if he makes 10 starts, is that it? Do I not need to see anything else? So I'd be anxious on that NL MVP market. If Shohei does not get double-digit starts, is it a foregone conclusion he's still the MVP?
You weren't around Thiessen back, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when I was called a Shohei denier because, you know, I called him the Tuesday night special because every time the Angels would pitch him, it seemed like it was a home game against the Omaha Storm Chasers. Speaking of the Royals, it was a Triple A lineup Kansas City was putting out there. Every time he didn't get a pitch 8 inches off the plate, he'd jump off the mound and stomp around. No umpire would tolerate this from anybody else. I mean, and then that last series of the year against Seattle, he didn't pitch and at the end of it. Remember on the right. Final day, it was his turn.
Right.
And he didn't pitch. I said, the real MVP on the field is Mitch Haniger, who drug this awful team to the doorstep of the playoffs. People really hated it. Anyhow, I think he's so unique in what he does. I just think it's a separate thing because no, we've never really seen this, right? But people say, Babe Ruth was a pitcher. Babe Ruth wasn't a pitcher, okay? He pitched early in his career. This guy's doing both at the same time. He's really special to watch.
But if he doesn't pitch, right, there's no way he should be a $5 betting favorite and PCA should be 12-1.
The momentum for PCA is really growing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, all these Chicago State are starting to really put out – it's almost like the Joey Harrington Heisman campaign with all these Chicago stations for PCA. But I think, you know, I think ultimately Shohei will win it because but what baseball needs is a non-English speaking face. All right. Now, let's move on to question number three, Dave. The Yankees. Yankees. The vaunted Yankees have now lost 6 in a row, Jensen. They've scored a total of 7 runs in their last 7 games.
Unreal.
Including a 30 consecutive scoreless inning streak that was broken up in the second inning last night against the pitching rich Angels. I ask you this, Jensen. What happened to the Torpedo Bats?
Yeah, they're still there. They just can't make contact on a consistent basis. So right now, pretty much everyone, like 1 through 9, as I kind of look through fan graphs here the last 7 days, everyone is in the high hundreds to the 300s as far as position player power rankings the last 7 days. So that just kind of tells you that everything has gone wrong for everyone in the lineup. So the entire lineup is cold. If I were to offer you right now, so Yankees still about a $2.05 favorite to win the American League East. Would you rather take a stab at the Blue Jays at +475 or the Rays at 5-1 to win the American League East right now?
Give me those Devil Rays. I'm really fascinated by this Tampa team. And I'm watching more and more of their games each day. It's amazing what Kevin Cash does every year. But he's put together a very decent rotation. Here they're down 8-0 last night. Did you see that? The Orioles score 8 in the top of the second.
12-8.
No worries. 12-8. It's quite amazing. I think they're like every year we say, well, this is the year they're not going to compete. Last year was a total throwaway season. They still play 500 ball. It's amazing what that franchise does. They don't have a home. It's
Shohei's -$5. Aaron Judge is -6,000 to win the MVP. Are you guys taking anything here for the big dump up?
Nobody's betting that. Nobody's betting that. And we're not going to take the bridge jumping on that either on a player awards. We'll take it on games, but not on player awards. I will say this, Jensen. I think the biggest problem for the Dodgers is what's wrong with Yamamoto. That, to me, is the biggest problem with their rotation. Ooh. If you want to think about the Dodgers' futures, you don't know. Glasnow, I don't count on. Glasnow is glass. Every year he gets hurt.
He does.
Snell is a big factor whether he can come back. Obviously, they'll go spend the money at the deadline. But heading into the playoffs, if Yamamoto isn't right, I think they could have a little fragility to them.
It's going to be fascinating to see what happens there. And it is getting tight in the AL East here. The Blue Jays right there with the Rays as well. The Red Sox right now climbing back into that race too.
Which starting rotation would you rather have, Blue Jays or Tampa Bay?
With a healthy Shane McClanahan, I'd rather have Tampa Bay, for sure.
For the record, that was 4 questions. That's Palms pressing 4.
That was a fourth question.
Mike, you're the best. We appreciate it. Stephen Hennessy is going to join us at the top of the hour talking all things golf. That's next year. It's Visa by the Books.